I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I was overcome by trouble and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the simple-hearted. When I was in great need, he saved me. Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, O Lord, have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore I said, I am greatly afflicted. And in my dismay I said, all men are liars. How can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have freed me from my chains. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord.
Becky, Richard, Phil, Dan, spouses, in memory of Catherine and Ted, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, it's an honor to stand before you today and speak at this service of worship. Today we gather to say goodbye. We gather to give thanks. We gather to mourn. I've been crying a lot lately. I don't know if it's because I'm getting a little older or because I've been in counseling and learning how to get in touch with my feelings and emotions and grieving the past and just feeling. Not only sad things, but beautiful things. One of the things that has really touched me recently is the concept of home. Home. Something about home comes up, it usually gets me and I tear up immediately. Some of you know that Rachel and I, and I'm sure many of you as well, have recently watched the Ken Burns documentary, Country Music. I'm from the Appalachian Mountains and grew up listening to those old bluegrass songs. And it became a running joke in my household and among some of my friends. How long in the show, like how many seconds would go by before I would start crying? Yeah. And how many times? The reason why it touched me so much is because it reminded me of home. And this is not my home. Home is more than a geography, though. Home is an idea. Home is a concept. Home is it's almost like a feeling. The people of God in Psalm 137 were in exile in Babylon. They were taken captive. They were kidnapped and taken to a foreign place. And in that psalm, they are lamenting and crying out longing for their home. Psalm 137 begins this way. It says, "By the waters of Babylon, there we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion, home. On the willows there we hung up our guitars, for there our captors required of us songs and our tormentors mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's songs in a foreign land?" The psalm that was just read to us, Psalm 116, is a song about death. It doesn't appear that way at first. It appears that the psalmist is crying out for deliverance, and his prayer is answered. But then in the middle of the song, I think some of you noticed, I heard some recognition of verse 15. In the middle of the psalm, it says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Now, if this verse seems like it's out of place in the psalm. It seems like it doesn't belong. This doesn't seem to be a psalm about death. But if we understand that it is a psalm about death, then it becomes a psalm about good death. Good death. It becomes a psalm where the psalmist is praying for deliverance, praying to be raised from the deathbed. And the Lord answers the prayer. We see this right away. He has heard my prayer, verse 1. He has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. He has delivered me from the snares of death. How is it that he delivered? He gave a good death. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. This does not seem to make any sense at all. How could anyone say this? Death is not precious. Seems to say the opposite of what is true. But what the psalm is saying is that when one dies united to Christ, when one dies in the Lord, it is precious. Why? Because you're going home. You're going home. The psalmist says, "In the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem, I will be." He says in verse 9, "I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living." He says, "Return, O soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you." Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints because they're finally going home. It is true that when Christ returns and we're resurrected from the dead, this world will be remade and this will be our home. That's true. But the world that we live in today is broken. As I said, home is not a geography. It's an idea. It's a hope. It's a future. Heaven is home for us now because that's where our Lord is. That's where our departed loved ones are. Blessed is the death of the saints in the sight of the Lord, because they're going to a better place, and that's where our sister Gladys is now. The other concept we see in the psalm is a life well lived. A life well lived. Some of us who are in the Protestant tradition, we might balk a little bit at that notion of speaking of a life well lived. Because we tend to focus on the fact that everyone is sinful and everyone is deserving of God's punishment. There was a meme this Christmas. It was a picture of John Calvin with a Santa hat on. And it said, "Everybody's on the naughty list," you know. Yeah, everybody is on the naughty list. I'm on the naughty list. You're on the naughty list. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And as we gathered around the family last week and we were telling stories, it was recognized. Gladys was not perfect. She was a sinner, just like all of us. She sinned. But she had a life well lived. Those of us who were at the visitation last night, it was a beautiful evening. People gathered, filling that house again with great food and people remembering, laughing, sharing. There were tears too. How many times have I heard as a pastor of Grace and Peace, and many of you have been a part of Grace and Peace, have heard this too, that's where it all started. In that living room. I said to a couple of different people last night, if you had told Ted and Gladys on that very first Sunday that one of you is going to live to be almost 90 years old and the church will outlive you, I think they would have jumped for joy. What a blessing. A life well lived. As I was sitting with the family in the living room last week, Phil and Dan were saying how the house was growing up was a refuge of sorts, a place for sojourners. People would pass through, sometimes unannounced, and looking for a place to stay. It was home. You know. People were down on their luck or in need of help, would come and live and gain help and sustenance. That's who Gladys was. That's who Ted and Gladys were. They were hospitable. As Pastor Agon said, your gift is hospitality. In this psalm, we see notions of a life well lived. This is what verse 14 and verse 18 are about. I will pay my vows to the Lord. What does that mean? I was faithful. I did what I said I was going to do. There's a life well lived. And we should rejoice and give thanks for that. We should rejoice and give thanks for a good long life and a life well lived. As we were sitting there last week, they brought out, I think it was Dan brought out the photo album from the wedding day. There's a photo album from their wedding in 1953. And on the cover, there's a picture and there's various things arranged. There's the wedding invitation or the wedding announcement, the wedding rings, and a little card, a typeset card with a statement. And at the bottom, it's signed Ted and Gladys. I want to read this to you. This is what they said on the day they were wed. Our wedding will be a wonderful day in our lives. We both feel, however, that the most wonderful day was when we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We believe that the Lord has brought us together to do some task for Him. It is our desire to submit completely to His will and serve Him to the best of our ability. We pray that our lives may be a testimony of His love, and that through our lives many souls may come to know and love the Savior as we do. Well done. Well done. Good and faithful servant. Well done. I said I've been crying a lot lately. One of the last times I cried was 15 days ago. That morning, we heard from Dan that the family believed that Gladys was not going to be much longer with us. And I think the same thought came through several of our heads. It went through my head, and Doug Corey came up to me right after church and said, we need to go take communion. We need to go over to the house. And I said, yes, let's do it. So we gathered some of the leftovers from our communion service here, a piece of bread and a chalice of wine, and a few of us went over to the house. Many of the family was already there because it was still the Christmas season and they were gathered together in the home. We went back into the back room and I sat beside her and we all gathered around and I said the words of institution and we asked Gladys. When we got there, she was mostly sleeping. She was not very awake. But we asked her, Gladys, would you like to take communion? And she said, yes. So Laura, her granddaughter, was by her side. We passed the bread and wine around, and she took a little bread and dipped it in the wine and put it in her mouth, and she took eagerly. It's one of the last things she ate. We sang two hymns. We sang What a Friend We Have in Jesus, and we sang Amazing Grace, and I was barely able to get out the words. And then as I held her hand, I prayed a prayer blessing. And as we finished up the time, Gladys said in a very strong voice, thank you. She was there. She was resting, but she was there. Yes, Gladys had a life well lived, but she also had a life that was trusting in her Lord Jesus Christ all the way to the end. All the way to the end. The psalmist here says, I will lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Gladys did that all the days of her life, all the way to the very end. Her hope was in Jesus Christ. And the reason why we can, while we mourn and grieve that we're saying goodbye to our sister and mother and grandmother and great-grandmother today, we can rejoice because she will rise again. And that's why it's precious, dear friends. That's why it's precious, because this is not the end. This is not the end of the story. Gladys is with the Lord, and we will see her again. One of my favorite poets is John Donne. One of his holy sonnets is Death Be Not Proud. I want to read this to you. Death, be not proud, though some have called thee mighty and dreadful, for thou art not so. For those whom thou think'st thou dost overthrow, die not, poor death, nor yet canst thou kill me. From rest and sleep, which but thy pictures be, much pleasure then from thee much more must flow, and soonest our best men with thee must go, rest of their bones and souls' delivery. Thou art slave to fate, chance, kings, and desperate men, and dost with poison, war, and sickness dwell, and poppy or charms can make us sleep just as well. And better than thy stroke, why swell'st then thou? One short sleep past, we wake eternally, and death shall be no more. Death, thou shalt die.
What better thing to sing after this than Amen? Would you stand and sing with us?
Now I I've been given the privilege of being able to say a few words of blessing to the Smith and Zane family. And let me start just saying thank you on behalf of all of us. Thank you. You guys stood here and you said, wow, when you looked out at the audience. Well, we say wow as we hear what you all shared with us, these amazing stories. We thank you for sharing, not only sharing Gladys with us, but letting us be a part of your family. Did you know that we're all in your family now? Did you realize that? We thank you all so much for that. I thank you for letting me be Gladys's pastor for the 5.5 years I got to do that. And I thank you for calling and having me come over last week as well. That meant the world to me. So thank you. Another word I would have, and I hope I'm not being presumptuous when I say this, but a word I think Gladys would want you to know is that is assurance. She would want me to assure you that she's all right. She want me to assure you that it's all right however you come today. It's all right to grieve and to cry and to mourn because we lost someone who was a giant in so many ways. It's all right. But at the same time, be assured that we grieve not as those who have no hope, but we grieve as those who have hope. And so what is our hope? Our great hope is that our sister Gladys is now being hosted. She is a guest of honor with the ultimate host, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so be assured of her presence today with him. And then the final word I'd say is a word of invitation. Gladys was so great at having an open invitation to our home for all of us. But I want to say to you, particularly family and friends, as I think she would want you to know that you're invited too, to that great banquet that we talk about, that we celebrate today, that she's a part of with Jesus Christ. She would also want you to be there. I don't care what you've done or where you've been or who you are or where you've been, what you've done. The Lord knows. And he has gone to the greatest expense to bring you into his family, to bring you into his home, to bring you in his table. And so whenever the services are over and you go back to the places that you came from, I don't want you to go back without considering this gracious invitation that Gladys's host, Jesus Christ, gives to each of you to come and be a part of his table. And now I just want to say a word of blessing, and mostly this comes from Numbers chapter 6. And now may the Lord, Almighty God, the God of comfort, the great shepherd of the sheep, the master of the banquet, may he bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you and give you peace and give you great invitation and refreshment at his table. For you are invited and he longs to